Hi guys, welcome back for episode 19. Last week we broke down B2B metrics that actually matter and why vanity stats like followers and impressions don't tell the full story. This week we're going to be zooming out to the bigger picture, how to structure your marketing strategy from the ground up using the RACE framework. And this is a system that we use with every single client to guide content campaigns and reporting.
Exactly. There's a couple of different frameworks that we use when we're planning. The first one is SourceStack, which we'll talk about in a different podcast. The other one is the RACE framework, which has been created by Dave Chaffee at Smart Insights. And he's actually wrote a lot of books and things like that as well on digital marketing and things. And it's pretty much designed for practical modern digital marketing. It's a four-stage model that mirrors the customer journey. The first one is reach, which is to build visibility and brand awareness. The second one is act, which is to drive meaningful engagement. The third one is to convert. So that's to turn customer interest into action, to make them take action when they're on your website and things. And the final one is engage, which is to keep customers coming back. Now, there is another one, which has kind of been mentioned throughout Dave's book and things like that. And that's the first point, which is actually planning. So before you even get to the visibility act and convert and engage, you need to actually plan what you're going to do throughout that RACE framework. So it's often known to be called the PRACE framework as well, which kind of wraps that around the whole model itself. Mm. We use it basically to simplify planning, prioritize what we're going to be doing, and track performance.
Yeah. So with the first one, which is R, reach, it's about getting in front of the right people at the right time. So the whole objective of this is to attract new traffic and build that brand awareness. And we do this through different tactics like SEO, paid media on both Google and Facebook, organic social as well, and PR and influencer partnerships. So an example is a client who scaled their organic traffic through consistent SEO content. And the metrics were impressions, reach, website sessions, and the click-through rate. And we've actually seen this with our own content recently. We've been in the habit of focusing so much on our clients that we forget that we need this also. So this year has really been pushing us forward, and you can see the growth, which is we posted on LinkedIn. It's just, it just takes off. And it is about that 6 month mark that you see that you're getting in front of the right people.
That's exactly what I was just about to say, Chloe. And the thing is, it's not about, in January, it's time to start a gym. No one sees the progress in a couple of weeks, so they bin it in February. And that's what happens with most businesses. They don't see the results quick enough, because we live in that kind of society now where people want instant gratification. Businesses need to stick to the plan. They need to have that long-term view in place. And as you say, a lot of this stuff, although we do see a lot of we do manage to catch a lot of the low-hanging fruit and do see some progress initially, it's not until that six-month mark where we start to see a massive increase in traffic, leads, and sales.
And I think even just like brand growth, because with one of our clients, which we've mentioned previously, when we got to that 6 month mark is when they really started to get those branded searches. And that's right. When you know your brand, over generic terms that people would usually type in, that's when you really know that your brand's really starting to grow.
Well, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you something else. I mean, with the advent of AI, brand marketing is becoming more and more a requirement for a lot of these different businesses that would normally get the leads from Google and things like that. And because we've now got AI overviews, a lot of their websites just weren't performing. And you can see them actually starting to dissipate down the page on Google as these AI overviews take over. And, unless you've got the best quality content And that this goes back to the whole SEO and organic social, to be honest, because like AI and things are is more based around kind of brand signals, for the different websites and things. So whether you're using Quora, Substack, all these other question answer sites, and not just Google AI, but all the different AIs, Perplexity and all that, are using a lot of the brand mentions and a lot of brand signals, reviews and things like that, for to actually promote the businesses that they believe is the best business for that user's search intent. So it's hugely important to get in front of the right people, with the reach method.
Yeah.
And of course, that then leads us on to ACT. So this is about driving consideration and engagement. And the objective of this is to get users to take the next step and explore, inquire, or sign up on your website. So with the first one, with reach, you're actually getting the brand awareness, and with ACT, you're getting them to you're managing to get them to the website and getting them to act or on the website, whether that's with landing pages, strong call to actions, lead magnets, and on-site engagement tools, which is what we recommend with all our clients. And that includes things like calculators, and we've got a few tools on our website which are completely free for people to use, like the UTM Tag Manager and things like that. That gets people, helps people become a bit sticky with your website. So if they're needing, the UTM tags converted, they'll know that, oh, if I go to Adonis Media, I'll get this really cool tool that we can use. And that's getting people to take that action on your website. And what you're basically doing there is you're building that engagement with that prospect,
Yeah.
Metrics with ACT include things like bounce rate, page per session, form submissions, resource downloads, how many people have used the tools, and all those kind of funky stuff. So you'll be so th things like bounce rate and that. I mean, generally, what you want to try and do is with the tools, you want people to gain engage with the website, which reduces your bounce rate, which means people are actually engaging with your site. And when people do that, Google sees that through their analytical tools and then promotes your website higher in the search engines, because it becomes then a useful resource for prospective clients.
Yeah. And then we lead off to C, which is convert. So that's about turning engaged users into paying customers. And this is through different tactics with retargeting, email nurture sequences, or funnel-specific landing pages. And metrics that you can use to kind of measure this is your conversion rate, your cost per acquisition, and your sales revenue.
That's right. And the thing is about this is, retargeting, for instance, is actually targeting those users that have been on those landing pages or been at your website and have maybe went off because they've been distracted by Facebook. And then what happens is when they're browsing Facebook or LinkedIn, they see, or any other website where those ads are displayed,
Yeah.
they then start to see those ads. And everybody's seen it, right? Where they've went on a shop and they're looking at a pair of shoes,
I was
and then
just
what
about to
happens is, and then every website they then go to, they see these same shoes, and that's essentially retargeting, and that's what that is.
And it makes you think, oh, it's a sign. I need to go buy these. So then, so you do end up following through with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the email nurturing sequences, those actually only come into fruition when someone actually signs up to your blog articles, or you're giving away a free email course or something like that. That's when those nurturing sequences would come into play, and those are really good for converting customers because it gives you an opportunity to continually nurture those customers, educate those customers, and essentially convert them.
That
Yeah,
follow.
and of course that then
Yeah.
leads us on to the six, point number six, which is the engage, and this is all about building loyalty and lifetime value. So, really, the objective of this is to retain customers, grow revenue, and create brand advocates. So this is where your reviews and things like that comes in as well. So this includes tactics like post-sale email sequences. So when you, if you're at an e-commerce store, you've bought a product, you'll continually to receive emails from the shop to ask you how things were. Can you leave a review? Here's a 10% coupon off your next, say, your next purchase, etc., etc. So those are the post sale email sequences, and any e-commerce store, whether it's B2B or B2C, should use those not just in immediately post sale, but right throughout the customer life cycle.
Yeah, and you can see this when you buy things from a store, and then you'll get the how was your experience with us? Rate it out of 1 to 10, or then the next one will be like, thanks so much for your purchase with us. Here's 10% off your next purchase with us. Like, we appreciate you so much. And
that's,
it adds
that's
that,
right.
that sense of value, and now I'm inclined to go and buy more. Or if you see something, you're like, oh, it's a bit, expensive, I'm not going to buy that. And then they send you 10 or 20% off, and you go, oh, well, you know what? It's 10 or 20% off. Like, I may as well buy it.
Yeah. And I mean, that at the end of the day, that's all about relationship building to retain the customer. That's exactly what it's all about. And the thing is, it's not just about that post-sale either. It's also about kind of database reactivation. So say, for instance, you've bought something from that store and you've not been back to the store in 3 months. The store should know that you've not been back for 3 months. So they want to reactivate you as a customer. So what they would then do is, even if it's a seasonal thing or something like that, they can, even out off the cuff where it's not seasonal, it's just out of the blue, let's reactivate this customer, send them a 10, 20% discount. It costs the shop nothing, builds value or provides value to the customer, continually nurtures them to be an advocate of your business, and everybody wins.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us on to loyalty and referral programs as well, which are really quite important, especially for not just retaining customers, but building a whole tribe of community around you, And we tend, pretty much every business that we've worked with, we would tend to recommend that they do this, because the long-term value of this is absolutely humongous. But unfortunately, not everyone seems to stick at it, because, again, going back to that whole societal thing where people want, if I'm giving somebody $250 for a referral, I want them to be giving me referrals. But people need to remember that, it's not their business at the end of the day. It's up to you to continually keep nurturing them as referral partners. And just keep reminding them how much money they could be using. And this is where, Chloe, we were talking about this just last week, where, what we can do is we can gamify that whole loyalty program, and have leaderboards and things like that. And I know HubSpot do this, because we're a HubSpot affiliate as well, over and above a supplier there. So that stuff does work.
Yeah.
And this kind of post-sale stuff also leads on to personalised customer service. And again, this is why we help with market sales and customer success, customer service point of view, because that's hugely important as well. And I'll give you an example of this. I actually bought a couple of pillows. I never buy anything off that I've seen on Facebook or anything, but this particular thing hit a pain point in mine where your mum snores somewhat, and this pillow said that this ad said that this would help stop the snoring. So I jumped on it, bought two pillows. The customer service was almost non-existent. It took like 2 or 3 days for them to answer a service request, which just isn't good enough. I tried to cancel the order, actually, but the pillows did actually arrive. So my point being there is, when you're offering customer service, don't wait 3 days to answer a customer. Your customer wants an answer right away. And the thing is, with the advent of AI, that can actually happen.
Chatbots.
We can build AI agents for our clients, which we're building into our platform anyway, which can actually look at the client account. It can look at previous correspondence and support requests and things, and actually respond in a very engaging, helpful way. So that's something that, that a lot of our listeners can take heed of, I suppose, and try and utilise AI as much as possible can within the business to help with those, even with customer service queries.
Yeah. Few metrics you can use for that as well is customer lifetime value, NPS, churn rate, and repeat purchase rate.
Yeah, so NPS is Net Promoter Score. So we've all seen that whereby, you know, after maybe 6 months of working with a company, whether it's a shop or not, what you can, and this is prevalent probably more to B2B, what they'll do is they'll get an email or a survey request from, say, Google Workspace, which we get all the time. And it basically has a survey from 1 to 10. How likely are you to recommend us as your growth partner, for instance?
Yeah.
And they'll say 10, and then they'll ask you, you know, why did you give us that rating? And then what basically happens then is you collect that over a period of time, and then you can get your NPS score. And that should be something that's always growing with that, especially with a B2B company. And it gives you an idea of how well you're servicing your customers.
Yeah. So why does the RACE framework actually work? It's customer-centric and it mirrors how people actually buy. It removes all the guesswork and it focuses on marketing teams on what matters most. So it's really great for internal alignment. It's easy to assign responsibilities to different people in your team and measure performances across the funnel.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, the thing is having a framework like RACE is the difference between random tactics and a revenue-generating system. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Another thing as well, I would just like to, I think I touched on it earlier, whereby we also use the SoStack framework. Now, basically what happens there is SoStack is a fantastic framework on its own, but you can actually integrate the RACE framework as well. Within that, just to make it an absolutely solid
strategy
or planning framework and execution, and allows you to control the costs and everything as well. We do have some articles on our website about SoStack and RACE, and we're in the process of developing one which shows you how to integrate SoStack with RACE to get the best of both worlds.
Yep. I'll link both of them down below. And once we do have that other one, we'll link that down below as well. All right. So we have some actionable takeaways for you guys to do this week. So first, I want you to audit your current marketing strategy and map everything to RACE. Find gaps in the journey. Where are your leads actually dropping off and how can you fix that? Build simple KPIs for each different stage. And start using the RACE in your monthly reporting to align your team efforts and show progress. And remember, keep it simple. RACE isn't a trend, it's a system, and a system that works. So next week, we're going to be diving into Google's new AI overview, which we mentioned earlier, and how it's reshaping SEO as we know it. We'll break down what the updates mean for rankings, content strategy, and how to future-proof your marketing for the new AI era.
Exciting, exciting.
Perfect. All right, guys, we'll see you on the next one. Thank you.
Awesome. Bye.